Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we've got Lynette Carolla in the studio. She's host of the hilarious and popular podcast For Crying Out Loud. She's a wife and mother of two, and her podcast covers a lot of these issues in a very light, informal way. Today, we're talking about how to keep sex alive in a long-term relationship, marriage, sex tips, and so much more, and reading some of your emails. So thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. There's just something about the fall that makes me feel like cuddling up with an old friend. And hey, you guys may have some fond memories too. Yes, I'm talking about The Intensity by Pour Moi. The Intensity is an amazing product that has made a serious impact on my life. Let me rewind a bit to explain. The Intensity was originally developed as a medical device to cure, yes, cure incontinence issues. You know, like you sneeze and you pee. Because these issues typically stem from a weakened pelvic floor, the Intensity works by applying gentle electrostimulation directly to that muscle group, giving you an amazingly effective Kegel workout. And you all know how I feel about Kegel exercises. And for a little plot twist, the makers learned that the product's only real side effect was an intense orgasm. So realizing the Intensity was a winning combination of utility and pleasure, they enhanced it with a powerful vibration and a clitoral stimulator. The result, much more than a sex toy. It's a product that has changed my sex life. I mean, G-spot orgasms, anyone? The Intensity combines two things I love and talk about all the time, Kegel exercises and orgasms. To find out how it can change your sex life, click on the Intensity banner on my website or go to pourmoi.com. That's pourmoi.com.
It's a throwback.
Look into his eyes. Eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for a mailing list, and do all that fun stuff. And we're so happy to hear you. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. You know, I'm just being very heartfelt lately, Menace, because we are coming up on our 10th year.
Wow, 10 years together.
And I just feel like I've been just doing a lot of thinking about that and how grateful I am that I have listeners and that people like the show and that it's continued and we can... make a living.
How finally? Do I put up with you for 10 years? I do not know.
I can't decide if you like me more or less. I think we're just like brother and sister. But
I know. So I want to shout out. I got somebody on Twitter. I think his name's Jer on Twitter.
Okay.
He says that he loves me on the show. So thank you for tweeting me and saying that you love me on the show.
Thank you for loving Menace.
And
on
he
the
called
show.
You M. Which
he
did? That's what I keep you in my phone as M.
So you do?
Anybody ever wants you? Well, wants your phone number and they find my phone. You're under M.
Okay, good to know. A lot of my friends call me M.
Yeah.
Oh, you've always had me as M? Like, aren't you have other M's?
Yeah, just M. That's it.
Oh, okay. Just I M. feel like that's a term of endearment. That's what my friends call me M.
Yeah.
And so you're all my buddies. So when you email me, you can be like, Dear M. People do that sometimes. It makes me feel good and warm and fuzzy. So it's great to see you. And I want to tell you, Menace, today's show, I'm really excited. We have a great guest. Lynette Carolla is here. And the husband of Adam Carolla. People have heard of
I don't
Adam
think
Carolla.
She's the husband.
Husband, wife.
I think she's the wife.
She's the wife, actually. She's beautiful. She just walked in. Okay, but I want to tell you, Menace, that I'm glad we're here because I had two near-death experiences in 1 week.
What? What happened?
Dude. Well, first, I walked on fire.
Where?
I was in Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas. You were probably in Las Vegas. I was in New York. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. Do you know Tony Robbins?
Yes.
Okay. I've always wanted to go because I have a lot of friends who've been very successful in business. And like the minute before they went on to make like $1 million and be successful. And I saw them change a lot by what. And I know people be like, oh, motivational. It really moved me. It was 4 days, 12 hours a day. But the first night, you walk across hot coals.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. And you put it like, he puts you in this. I mean, his whole thing is about not just like positive mindset or motivation. It's about changing your state and how if we change the way, like our body has so much, our like our emotions create our emotions. And it was just all this stuff. So we trained like to go on fire and to walk like you say this thing and you like stand up straight and you breathe. We did a meditation. I walked across fire.
Wow.
And it was really cool.
Please, you got it on tape somewhere.
I know, but it was dark. And cold and snowy. It was like, it was 7,000 people in the conference.
Wow.
But I was like the first 10 rows. So it was pretty
cool.
No way. Yeah, I walked on fire.
Walked on fire. That's amazing.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I know. I was telling Drew, he's like, Dr. Drew's like, you did what? That's crazy. Cause he's like, loves doubt everything that I do. I'm like, no, it was a life changing, life altering because before you walked on the fire, you had to give up something. Like you had to find something that you want to work on. It was like really deep, intensive, like emotional self-help stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, what do you want to give up in your life? What do you want to change? What's something you've been struggling with?
And you picked something easy, like not getting married or something like that, right?
No. Ironically, Menace, thank you for saying that, is that it's funny because it was one of these things where I usually hate this, like turn to the person next to you and tell them what you're saying. I'm like, like I don't want to know you. But this woman next to me was like a life coach too. I'm not a life coach, but she was like self-help and she totally got my jam. And she was like, and I said something like, I don't remember what it was. I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I can't really commit and I don't remember what, it wasn't strong enough. She goes, and then she kept pushing me. She goes, I don't believe you. I don't believe it's your thing. And then all of a sudden I thought, you know, I have a really hard time being vulnerable and we all know this, but I was like, cause we were going to release something when you walked across the fire. So I released the fact that I'm never vulnerable and I'm going to learn to be more vulnerable. So I might start crying.
On the show today?
No, I'm kidding.
Hopefully
not. Not in the show. I'm not feeling it right now, but I'm saying that's, and it just inspired me.
Well, I made you cry. So before the show started, I'm going to give a little insight. Before the show started, Emily said, I listened to a podcast that we did in 2011 and we were much more funnier then. But I think they were more funnier then because I would make fun of you, but then you would cry and say that I was mean.
Dude, I never cried. It was only when we had guests or we were shooting our Bravo show. And Menace was like, Bravo's here. I'm going to really trash you. And it was like things you never said to me. And it was rude. And I never cried.
No, you always called me out on that, saying that I played
it
up
whenever
for the cameras.
You did play it up for the cameras, which worked because they loved you and put you in every friggin' episode because he trashed me. So they're like, oh, it's reality TV.
Well,
we need some drama.
That's what they want. But I did that on
and off
camera.
I'm not saying we were funnier and better. Actually, you heard the wrong. I said it was interesting because, okay, we've got 2,500 podcasts, and that's a lot. And there's a lot of them that aren't on iTunes. You can go now. There's 200 and something, but they give you a limit, as they should. Mm-hmm. And so people can download them. But I thought, God, some of these are really – we used to do 5 days a week, an hour a day. And 2011, they were pretty awesome. And I was just laughing. And it wasn't so much that they were funnier. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. I just said it was – we were both at different times in our life. And it was I was single. You were – I mean, I'm always single. But you were single. Yeah. We were like doing more social things. And I don't know.
But
anyway, check out those throwbacks because I'm releasing them now. And they're funny. And they're like – I don't know. They're interesting. I don't think – we're more adult.
I guess.
Kind
I
of.
Know.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm adult.
Yeah,
but
me neither. But we have a guest.
We do have a guest. Lynette Carolla is here. We already talked about you.
Can I just say thank you?
Yeah.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So nice to see you.
You too.
I'm so happy to be here. But can I just say, Menace, you are cannot be further from a menace.
She's already talking.
She loves
you. No, but I'm a huge fan. Okay. I listen to the show all the time. Should I put the headphones on?
Sure.
Yeah, if you want.
Podcast one, I've never been here. It's amazing.
Right.
Okay.
Wow, these things are squeezing me.
I know you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We can get you other ones if you want.
No, these are fine. I didn't know what to expect. And Menace does not.
Well, how did you picture him?
I pictured him that age. You seem young. You look young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as young as he used to be.
I know.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah. No,
but more like.
Not skinny.
Like tattoos or something.
Oh.
Menacing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because the name. Right.
Yeah.
No, that's Menace. He's kind of a geek.
How did you two meet, by the way?
We
were just talking. This is funny.
Okay, do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, I don't know if you know this, but there's this guy named Adam Carolla, right?
Never heard. Who?
So we worked for this company called CBS, and they launched a bunch of radio stations called Free FM, and there are talk stations.
Right.
And
in 2006.
In 2006. And I was working on the station. And Emily was doing a podcast that was very popular on iTunes. And the bosses there were like, we should put this girl on air, even though she has zero broadcast experience.
Never been in a radio station in my life.
So but you were podcasting.
I know. It's
same in 2006. Thing,
yeah, right. No. Well,
there's there's FCC different regulations. Okay. Okay. Like you can't say masturbation every 5 minutes. You can't say cock. You know,
right. Yeah, that's like true. Jerking off and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right, right.
And so they're like, hey, you know, can you look after this woman
he that wants the
to
board
do, yeah, the work the board and make sure, you know, she doesn't get the license taken away. And then, which I would have a heart attack every 5 seconds and have to dump her out when she would say, I can't say blowjob on the air.
I would say it on the air.
She would say it on the air. Why are you dumping me? I can't say blowjob. So she would say it twice. I would literally.
That makes your life miserable.
Yeah. That was just the first month or two.
Anyway,
so that's how we met BFF. It was really cool because I started the podcast. I know, 2006, and he was like a young lad. He was like sleeping at the station because he was like living in his car. And that was right after you were living in your car.
Yeah.
And Menace is like uber successful now. Like, I'm amazing to see how much he's grown.
No, I was doing a morning show before that, and I thought it would last forever.
What morning show?
It was called the Doghouse Morning Show in San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh, but Adam was on Free FM.
Free FM.
The morning show every day. Yeah. But he was syndicated in every city. Right. I was just in San Francisco Saturday nights 11 to 2.
So,
okay.
So what happened was I thought, you know, I was a young kid. I thought morning shows last forever, which they don't. And I got fired, and then I didn't save any of my money. And I got that job at CBS where I was working part-time making no money. So right. I would sleep at the
station. I'm just saying because I'm impressed by how he's the hardest worker I know. Anyway, that's how we met. Okay. And so we didn't talk the first few years because we just did the radio, and then we became friends, and then...
It's been 8 years that you two have been together. You guys are you make a very nice couple.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know who this Adam guy you guys keep referring to. You guys. I'm so excited.
I'm so glad that you've... And I've been on your show for Crying Out Loud. We talked about your podcast. So people can find it at adamcarolla.com. Is that where you send them?
Yeah, you just go to adamcarolla.com, and you look at the other shows, and it's up there. Just click on For Crying Out Loud.
Okay, got it.
Cool. Yeah. So what's it all about?
Everything. Well, my co-host is Stephanie Wilder Taylor. She was sort of the first mommy blogger that was like drinking and getting drunk at like nap time. And one of her first book was, best-selling book was, Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay. And she's just a funny, you know, author, writes books. She has a new book coming out, Gummy Bear or something. She's going to kill me. Oh, my God. But she's great. And we got together. And Adam, you know, was doing his shows. And we were just sort of building a network. And so we talk about, you know, most of the time. I mean, not most of the time. But we try to keep it like family. Except for when. But that's part of it, though. We talk about relationships and marriages. And, you know, we talk about everything, you know, kids and other people's marriages and relationships.
But you're really open too, and it's very like relaxed and gives, you know, good advice and talk about share your experiences where I think we all learn from each other.
So. Right. Yeah.
So that's a good time.
Yeah.
And so I was on her show actually. Oh, that's cool. Show, and we had fun.
And you filtered, you made it filthy.
I did make it filthy.
Yeah. But our show
can talk about G-spots. Yeah.
Yeah. We go, you know, we go filthy sometimes. But I wanted Emily on our show because she's with Loveline, you know, with Drew. And I just thought she was, you know, he moved out here from San Francisco. And it's just like, she's just a, you know, interesting person. I just like talking about
her. I know.
Well, I also like talking about sex, too.
I know. It's kind of fun. Well, that's why you're here.
Listen, I mean, 20 years with the same person.
I know. Okay. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Should we just get into it?
Yeah.
20 years.
20 years. That's about 20 years coming on in December.
Okay. And,
Yeah. So we broke up, I mean, for almost a year.
And okay.
My heart was broken.
Before you got married?
We got engaged, and we got engaged, and it was because I wanted to get engaged. And at the height of the man show. And he never experienced, and I met him right before. Right 3 months into Loveline is when I met him.
Oh, okay.
So he's still living in an apartment, driving his crappy car and all that kind of stuff. And we were together then. And then as we went on, he got successful and he wanted to see what life was like as a single guy. And I was like, let's get married. It's been, 4 years now. And even Jimmy Kimmel, his best friend, who was married at the time and had two small children, you know, he's a big family guy, Jimmy right. Kimmel. So Jimmy was telling him, like, what's going on? When are you getting married? And then Drew, his other partner, is like, yeah. what's
Drew's
going
so, like...
So he's in between two family guys. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like best friends with Mrs. Kimmel and right. Mrs. Drew. And, you know.
You're
and,
like family.
Yeah,
like,
so,
it's
like let's get married.
In.
And even Jimmy's wife found the wedding ring that I still wear to this day. Actually, I'm not wearing it right now. It broke, but
I got out of a gumball machine. But that was before he made money. Yeah,
that's before he made money. And anyway, so they kind of he got pushed into it, and so we got engaged, but he wasn't ready. And then I came home from work one night. We lived together in the same house, and I remember Van Halen was playing on the KLOS.
Right, you just
I just remember, and I walked in, and he opened. I was fumbling with the lock, and he opened the door for me, and he just started crying. And I was like, what's the matter? And he said, you know, I can't get married. He just went on a trip with Drew, and he was talking to Drew about it, and Drew said, you have to let her go. You can't, because, you know, right. juggies are throwing themselves at him.
Yeah.
You know,
the
at the
thing.
Time.
That's
a big question.
And how old was he at the time?
He was like 36 or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so
it's a huge television show.
It was big at the time. And listen, he was a, you know, a contractor. He didn't get famous until he was 31. And, you know, he didn't experience anything as a single guy.
So he was, because he was just, so he wasn't getting laid. He wasn't getting.
Right. I mean, he was getting laid by me, but.
But no,
you know,
before you, he hadn't
before
really been.
Before me, a, right. Yeah. He wasn't a ladies' man.
It's like
man.
When you get on TV, it's like,
right.
pussy.
Right.
Like,
right. Right. Every, yeah. But he was not a ladies' man. He always had just one girlfriend at a time kind of thing. So Drew said, you got to let her go, dude. You can't. You're going to, she's too, you know, you don't do this to her. And he came home from that trip with Drew, and he started crying, and he said, I got to, and I started, I was like on the floor, like, oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up, that kind of, like, just coming out of your skin. Yeah, just couldn't. I remember I went over to Jimmy's house. I couldn't sleep in the house that night, and I went over to Jimmy's house, and Gina was hugging, and I was crying, and I'll never forget, Jimmy walked in, and he was like, I'm sorry. He didn't know what to say. And he goes, he's just a sweetheart. He goes, I'm sorry. And then he goes, and then 2 days later, I was still on the couch crying, upset. Like, it's just, I was a mess for a long time. And I stayed at Gina and Jimmy's house for a while on their couch and with cousin Sal. And Jimmy came in one night and he goes, ah, you're still with the crying. And he's like, listen, Lynette, he's not that great. And he's like, I'll never forget the magic words. He's not that great.
That is
like,
so funny.
All of a sudden, I snapped out.
You're like, you're right.
You know what? You're right. And then
and then how long? What happened? Did you start dating?
About 9 months. I got my own place. I moved in. I never lived by myself. I always had a roommate. So it was a whole new thing. Gina Kimmel helped me throughout the whole thing. She was, God bless her. And I started loving being in my own place.
Right. You're like,
I was coming home.
So
I was working at ABC Network. I was coming home after work. My friends, my girlfriends were coming over. We were doing bong loads watching Survivor. It was
sounds
great.
Like, it sounds like
it
me.
Was,
no.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
That's so fun. So but, then what did he circle back? Or did you not talk for those 9 months?
No. He always had his – he kept
stayed
in
connected.
Touch a little. Like, he would call and say, do you need one of my guys to come over and install the shelves in your room or whatever? He
that was
always
his
kept
way.
Yeah. And then around 9 months to a year, he started to come back around and he'd say, on a Friday night, he would say, do you want, I'll come pick up food and come over and we'll watch Boy Meets World together. Because that's what we used to do.
Right.
And then I'm like, all right, dude, what's going on? Are we going to, do you want to get married? And he said, yeah, eventually I do. And then we never talked about marriage again after that for a long time. And then like 3 or 4 years later, when the Man Show ended, he said, you know what? I think it's time we start planning. Well, I said, hey, what's going on? All right, you know, Man Show's ending, whole new world. And he said, yeah, all right, let's start planning wedding. And it was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Because he kind of came to it on his own. And
right.
It wasn't
he came to it on his own. Nobody pushed him into it. He went and experienced life as a single guy. He dated a model. I know he did. He dated a model, and he experienced it. But he always kept in touch with me. And then, you know, he did what he had to do, which was the best thing. But if you told a brokenhearted Lynette back in 1999 that I was coming out of my skin crying. My boss would have Comedy Central on in his office, so I'd go in his office to cry, and it would be like, Man Show, Monday night.
Oh, that's the worst.
worst commercial. I'm like,
oh man.
Anyway, so that's.
But that's amazing. But you went on and had, did you date too? I'm assuming.
Yes, and I hated everybody I dated. I wasn't into it.
I know, because you just loved him.
It's well, here I am, 20 years later. Okay, now I'm thinking, wow, what I should.
What was I so excited?
I was like, I should. Yeah, Jimmy saw you. No, I should have taken advantage. I mean, I dated a couple. I didn't really.
No. Your heart was.
My heart was still broken.
Right.
But listen, here's the thing. The good news is that we love each other, and we're still, I think the biggest thing, and I think we talked about this maybe when you were on my show, but the biggest thing I think is important is that we're attracted to each other.
That mm-hmm. is huge.
That brings everything, because even if you're mad at the person and you're like, it's been, you know, just in this funk or whatever, there'll be a time where he walks by or she walks by and they're like, oh, let's get it on. And then you get it on and you start to feel connected again.
Exactly.
That's what
that is really important, because I always tell couples, if you don't, people are like, oh, we can't, you know, it's very common for couples to be like, we're not attracted to each other anymore. You know, we can't really, we're not having sex. I'm like, well, did you have it at the beginning? And there's a lot of couples who say, no, we never did. I'm like, well, then there's nothing to get back. But if you have it and you maintain it and you prioritize it,
right,
you're good.
Right.
You got the attraction. Because you need the attraction.
Need it. And he's my type. He was always my type. And
what is that like type? Like
just tall, first of all, extremely intelligent, you know, funny. All girls say that.
Right.
But,
we all say tall,
just,
funny.
Yeah. But I like that Jew. I thought he was Jewish. Okay. I'm full-blooded Italian. I thought he was Jewish. Name was Adam. He had a Jewfro. He was Jewish for like a week. And he was like, no, I'm not Jew. I'm a little bit Italian. And I was like, oh, really?
Right.
I was let down. But yeah, so that's the thing. You have to be attracted. So we were attracted to each other then. You know, still attracted
that's
to each
good.
Other.
That's good. But keeping it, like, do you guys make efforts to, you know, keep
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, we do. And he knows that, obviously, by working next to Drew for, you know, 12 years on Loveline. He knows what you have to do. You know, so he'll say, well, you know, if it's been a while, he'll say you want to go on date night, you know, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Let's go, like, make reservations for Morton's Steakhouse or whatever, you know.
It's important. And you have two kids. It's
yeah.
Away.
Yeah. And I never turned down a blowjob ever.
Really?
I've always, that was like my thing.
Good.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm
no, it's fine.
He's going to kill me. Yeah, I've never, yeah.
Never turned it down, meaning he offers you his penis and you never say no thanks. No,
well, yeah. right.
No thanks, I'll have the steak.
I'll have the steak. Yeah, I've always, I don't know.
That's good. I feel the same way. I mean, I haven't been in a long-term, well,
ever.
2.5 years.
She's never even lived with a guy.
I never wanted to.
No, I'm envious. Listen, I'm envious of that.
I know. It's like I go back and forth. But it's true. I feel like we used to joke years ago about how you get married and there goes your last blowjob. You know, everyone jokes about it. And I think
you
that's
have
a big deal. You give a friggin' blowjob. You have the sex. It's like, I always say it's like going to the, I've said this so much lately, but I'm like, it's like going to the gym. Like, it's sometimes it's harder, or even the sex thing. Blowjobs, I agree, you should just do it, and guys should also go down on their partners.
Yeah, definitely.
But you should just, I mean, how long? 10 minutes? 15?
I know.
It's like, and it's so much better rather than the rejection of it. The rejection of it builds.
Bad. Yes, it's bad. It's not good for a guy. You can't. I don't know. I just feel like you can't reject.
Exactly. I totally agree. Go ahead, because I have to find another analogy.
It's not about blowjobs, but being together for 20 years.
Because he hasn't had one in a long time.
Oh, please. So I have an example from like last night, and I wanted to ask you, since you've been married 20 years, and how do you deal with maybe things that your partner does that irritates you?
Yeah.
So my girlfriend is never on time. Ever. All right. So I said we were going to this like really exclusive like Foo Fighters show last night.
Oh, wow.
And
he does cool stuff.
And I was like, yeah, we have to be there at 5:30.
Right.
And it's like 7 minutes from our house. She goes, okay. I was like, we have to be there at 5:30. And of course,
this takes is a huge sweet issue time. In relationships.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. Of course, takes her sweet time. And then we get to the venue, and I seriously, by 30 seconds, somebody was supposed to corral us to go backstage to go hang out with the band. We missed that window. Ugh. And then she goes, oh, we missed the band. I'm like,
Because you're doing your hair or whatever.
Goddamn right? Late because of you, you know?
Late is a...
And that's like always like my number one
pet peeve. See, this is fixable though.
You know? Yeah, oh. That's
fixable. That's your number one pet peeve.
Yeah.
Well, you have to work on it.
Well, yeah, but how do you deal with like that?
Okay, yeah. Well, I was the late one all the time too with him. And I think it was date number four where I pulled up late. And he's like, hey, listen, you got to be on time. That's enough. Like, you got to be on time. If I say be here. And with him, you know, with Loveline and radio.
Right.
It's so regimented. Yeah.
So he's like, you know, you got to be here on time. And he's like, you know what? He's right. I have to. So I made it a point. He's right. I have to be on time. So right. I don't know, Menace. Yeah.
Menace, I got to tell you something. This is something that I just studied with. I was saying earlier that I went to see Tony Robbins last week. I was in New York for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was inspirational and cool, and I walked on fire, and I decided I was going to be vulnerable and all this stuff.
That's nice.
But the second thing, I said I almost died twice. I had a really bad flu. But that was bad. I want to wrap up that story at the beginning. But the point is, he talked about this stuff about like limiting beliefs that you have about yourself and like what are the beliefs that you tell yourself? Like it could be like, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm never on time, I can't be on time. And how do you change those belief patterns? So I was talking to a friend of mine who she goes, I'm always late. I don't know what to do about it. And she actually read a book. There's a book, I'll get the name for you, and it's about being late. And she said, we were talking about it, and she said, there's a moment in the book, this thing that stuck with her in the book that says, you decide that you're going to be late. Like, you know that moment that you're going to be late. And she said, and she's learned, like, she's chronically, like, hour late. Like, it's a problem. Like, she went to a support group, like a 12-step.
What?
Like, no, I'm serious. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I realized finally, and then I brought it up to her again. And she was like, last week, she goes, oh, my God. She goes, I was about to go to my therapist. I was leaving the house. And then I realized, she goes, after we talked, I sat down and I was going to start. She's like, oh, this would be a good time to start crocheting my scarf. And then she's like, wait. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. And she's like, and I was on time. And it's like,
you make a decision. Yeah. It's a decision you have to make.
Yeah.
You have to decide. And still to this day, sometimes where we're getting the kids ready and we got to get in the car and we're going over to somebody's house for dinner that we're invited to or whatever. And Adam's like, wheels up 6 o'clock, you know, get the kid. I have to get get the kids ready and stuff like that. But I can't blame it on the kids. It's me, you know, because I'll say, well, the kids, blah blah blah. He'll say, listen, you were way, you know, before the kids, you had this problem, so you need to work. But I worked on it, and so now with kids, even you know, a couple.
How did you work on it though? Even before the kids, sounds like you changed. So.
Well, I had to make a decision because I don't want him to get mad at me. I was like, well, all right, you know, and he's right. So you make the decision, and it feels good, you know.
It does feel good. You do it. It does, and then it gets into your DNA. You start like it gets into the grooves in your brain. And my brother had the same issue with his wife when they first started dating, you know, like 20 years ago, and it was the same thing. People underestimate how much time things are going to take too. So he's like, you take an hour to get ready. He would tell her, like, she's one of these, it takes a lot. He's like, so just make sure you get in the shower. And she did it. Like, she changed. She's not late. So,
yeah. You
got to put your foot down. You got to be like, listen, this is really not like in a joking way, but just like, this is something that really bothers me. And this is something that's becoming an issue. And if we got to think, tell me some solutions I have is maybe just realizing it could take you an hour and, you know, whatever it is, and then see what she says. Yeah.
But I want to dig in deeper though with somebody that's been married for 20 years. You know,
well, like, married like 11, but together.
Yeah, together for 20 years. But like, how do you deal with pet beefs with him? Do you just like straight up tell him like? What?
There's times where I tell you know, hey, by now we've gotten past all that. It's sort of weird how relationships are, because there was a time where I would sulk and not say anything and hold it in, and then I would blow up, and he didn't know, you know, or he would sulk and I would say, what's wrong? I would know. See, I pick up when he's sulking. He doesn't pick up when I'm
right.
He's got a little bit of Asperger's.
Well, no, guys.
That's what you said on Howard Stern, right?
Yeah. Did he say that?
He said someone had Asperger's. I don't know if it was Adam. I think it might have been Adam.
Yeah.
Did you hear the whole Howard Stern
thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Drew was on Howard Stern. He was hosting the wrap up show, and it was like, I guess it was the most popular wrap up show they've had. And he analyzed every single person on Howard Stern. Adam, and I thought he said Asperger.
I'm sure he did.
I know,
he
has like, said it before. Bean from Kevin and Bean, they say that it has it.
Yeah, they don't pick up on emotional cues.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can be hard as a woman.
It's very
when we have
hard.
A lot of emotional cues.
Oh my God, very hard. And then when you start seeing it with the kids and stuff, he doesn't pick up on.
I think it's a man thing though too. too, like, well, with women, we don't pick up the signs at all. We never, we've talked about this a million times, how we don't even know if a girl even likes us or not. You know?
That's right.
We don't know
that's
if they're
men
into
gotta,
us.
You know, they gotta.
Yeah, but for men, as pet peeves, just you gotta, don't hold it in. You gotta get it out. And then after a while, they start knowing each other. You start knowing what to do. Like, I know this is happening. He doesn't like it. I gotta fix it.
Right.
And then he vice versa, you know, he'll come and kiss me goodnight. I don't know. Right. Be a little more loving.
Whatever it is. If you're like, yeah, I want to kiss goodnight.
Right.
And he'll like, listen. Yeah. And you start making, and I think that men is maybe it'd be good if you start communicating these things like in a direct way with her.
I do too. Like when I,
but you probably make it seem like whatever. You probably make her feel bad about it more than you do say, hey, listen, this is really something that's bothering
you. Oh, because you know what I do.
Dude.
I'm just,
I know you better than anyone.
No, I'm just, when I notice that she's upset, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. I tried to
fix it.
No, defuse it. Defuse it right away. Like, I can tell that she's mad, and then I'll just start
messing
with
her. You're like, why a cell bag? What do you do?
I'll say, like,
oh, look, there's Dave Grohl.
Yeah. I'll just keep on looking at her while I know she's, like, really upset, and I'll say, why are you laughing so much? Why are you laughing? And then, like, seriously, within a minute, she'll
Yeah, but honey, that just means that you made her laugh, but doesn't mean that you talked about the issue.
Yeah, but then
we talk.
Yeah, yeah. Then we talk it out.
Okay, we got some work to do on you. But first, we have a few words here.
Jeez.
What? From our sponsors.
Okay.
Here,
fine.
Menace.
Ooh, I love it.
I just returned from an amazing trip to Europe where I had the honor of helping to launch the latest innovation for my good friends at WeVibe, the all new Sync. And let me tell you, it was the buzz of the show. Get it? The buzz of the show? Okay, anyway. The Sync is the latest evolution of the WeVibe, the world's best couples toy. For those that aren't familiar, let me back up. Okay, the original WeVibe is a C-shaped toy that women actually wear during intercourse, so both partners can enjoy the vibrations. It provides clitoral and G-spot stimulation at the same time and connects to a smartphone app. No hands necessary. The new Sync keeps the familiar C shape and also shares the dual motors and multiple functions of the earlier models, but adds some great new features that will blow your mind. First up, those dual motors, even more powerful. The new remote now provides full control over the vibration intensity and pattern. And get this, the free WeConnect smartphone app has been updated to allow real-time pattern changes and more, meaning you just drag your fingers to control the vibrator as you're using it. It's so easy. But the biggest innovation is the Sync's ability to adjust and lock into position, meaning one size truly fits all. I mean, it will hit all your hotspots. If you haven't tried a WeVibe before, you need to try the new Sync. I mean, trust me, you will love it, and you can thank me later. To order yours today, simply click on the Sync banner on my website or visit WeVibe. That's WeVibe.com and use code Emily at checkout. Okay,
always
we're back.
Yeah.
With this. So what were we talking about? So medicine needs to work on communication. I'd like you to come back next week having resolved one issue with her.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your assignment.
My thing is the late thing too, because my dad was always late too, which annoyed me.
No, people, this is like very common. I mean, this is something you can work on though. Do you want me to find out the name of the late book? Would she read it?
Yes, I would like it because I could use it.
I know.
I need, yeah.
I'm late too, a little bit. Not too bad, but.
I mean, I got late here today, but.
But it had nothing to do with her lateness. Yeah. This is really late.
Like your husband and I are in similar industries, but I mean, like he's like on a way, way higher level, but it's like. Yeah, you have to be there on time at this time.
You can't. Yeah. Like the radio goes on. Like, I get it. Yeah.
That's all.
And then another thing I want to say real quick that I skipped over at the beginning was that you can vote for us until April 23rd for the podcast awards.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're nominated.
I know. In the mature category, you go to podcastawards.com and you can vote every day.
And you're hosting.
I'm hosting with Dennis Miller.
That's amazing.
I know. I've got no information. I'm like, are we just going to show up and get on stage together? Like, there's nothing.
Dennis is great. He's a pro.
Yeah, but am I a pro?
You're a pro, too. You guys are going to be great
together.
It'll
be fun. And then I had some stuff that I wanted to talk to. There's a study that came out.
Mm-hmm.
10 science-proven facts about married sex. And I thought, and since you're in a long-term, I thought we could talk about some of these.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and this is actually, a lot of these studies are kind of BS, but this is Kinsey from the Indiana University, which they do all the top sex studies from there, so I actually give it a little bit of credibility, more credibility than most.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is the grass is not greener on the single side. Mm-hmm. So how many times on TV or in movies have we seen a married guy shamed by the bachelor buddy for settling down when he could be playing the field?
Yeah.
Talked about. The fact is that married people have more sex than single folks, they say. In the research, they confirmed this, finding that 61% of singles reported that they haven't had sex within the past year, compared with 18% of married people.
Well, it depends on who's the single person. I know, right?
You might have caught him in like an off month or something.
I mean, I don't think that's the case for you, Emily. Right?
No, I call it up.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I can.
It's gonna come off sexist, but a woman can get.
Thanks for warning.
A woman can get laid anytime that they want. They can walk outside if they really wanted to.
If they really wanted to, yeah.
But a guy can do that.
Yeah, you can. Have,
no way.
You just gotta have more confidence. You gotta be nicer to women when you meet them.
No.
If you wanted to. Just like a girl.
Right.
But you would have to really work at it to make it happen. Like a woman honestly just steps outside and says, "Hi, I'm here. I would like to have sex."
Yeah.
And you'll have.
Yeah, that's true. But guys, you know, with Tinder and everything speeding it all up, you can get my friend, you know.
Oh my God. I cannot. I'm meeting my girlfriend. She's a single mom. She's.
Okay.
She's a single divorced mom. Full time, works full time. She can't meet anybody.
So hard,
and
right.
It's so hard. But she'll put in, you know, that she's all the criteria she is looking for. And it's like, she'll say, "Look, Lynette, this is what I have to choose from." And you could tell by the pictures that they're
the
not.
Doofus. Not they're like, hey, right. Beautiful.
Yeah, not going to work. But I just met this woman that showed me her Tinder profile, and it's like sexy pictures of her. She's a nurse. She's a nurse, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't look like that when I see her, but these pictures are artsy, sexy, and I'm thinking now my girlfriend who's single, I'm like, "Listen, you gotta get your." She's gonna get some pictures.
There's like a certain. Like,
I'm dying to be on Tinder. I would love to be on Tinder.
Someone just did. Oh, Mike Catherwood was saying that he did a fake profile.
He did.
Yeah, you could do it for and talk about it on your show. It'd be funny.
It'd be fun. Yeah. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it.
I just can't log in now because of something happened with my whatever. But I was doing it for a while. I had a blind Tinder date on my show a few months ago. But that, I don't know if you're the last time I.
What about Hinge? Have you heard about Hinge?
Yes. Hinge is supposed to be great because Hinge is a dating app that connects you just through Facebook friends only. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Coffee Meets Bagel, which we've been talking about for a while, but it's now, I feel like more and more people are using that as well.
What's that?
It started in San Francisco a few years ago. I talked to the founder, and you're supposed to make a.
Emily's so connected. She's in Silicon Valley.
It's funny.
She's always joking with venture capitalists.
Seriously,
My friends always joke in the office, or my team always jokes. They're like, "How do you know?" I'm like, "Well, the founder, because it's San Francisco. No one was in entertainment.
No one gave a shit.
What we like, they're like, what radio? We were on the Bravo show. No one has TV.
Yeah,
no one cared.
Right,
unless you're at like a .com. No,
they're like, "I'm so sorry, you're in TV. I don't have a TV." I'm like, "Oh, it's cool. What do you move here?" It's like, "What? You did what?" Coffee Meets Bagel, I think it's like they set you up with pretty good. My friends, it's a little higher caliber. I had a conversation with my friend in San Francisco today because she's been on everything, and she just said it's. I think you set up for a lunch or something, or maybe it's a group. I'm going to butcher this, but it's a site that's been around for a few years, but apparently it's since two people have told me about it in 2 days, I feel like it's taking off again.
Now there's this other one. That's out of San Francisco, where the guy has to make like $250,000 to even.
That's
be on
just
it.
Living in San Francisco, right?
Wow.
Well, you have to in San Francisco now. You have to make $142,000 to buy a house.
Yeah.
Wow. To even think about buying a house,
San Francisco is it's beautiful though. That's what Adam and I love to go there.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we have a romantic getaway,
that's a great place to go. Go to Sonoma, Napa.
Yeah.
That's where
I met the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Met your husband for the first time at the Starlight Lounge.
I was there too. Yeah. That's where I met him. He was because it was CBS. It was CFM, and they were bringing in Adam. He was the big name.
It was so funny. They set him up like it was like a. Like a prom photo shoot.
He didn't say hi to me. I was too little.
I'm sure he looked down and didn't say hi to anybody.
He just walked him in and then stood him in front of this background that looked like a bad, like, 80s background.
That.
And, like, made everyone line up and take a photo with him.
See,
but he was very nice when
Adam
I talked to him.
Adam was very shy in front, honestly, in front of people. Not shy, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable.
No, I get it.
If you want to, like, know, you got to meet, like, sit and talk, like, how we are, like, in a room.
Totally. We'll have him on. Yeah. We'll talk about, you know, what you said, everything about your sex life.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll play them clips.
It says, the next one is, on average, married couples while having sex, how frequently? People always want to know this question, like, what are the right number? I mean, I never want to say there's anything that's normal, like you should have it it's whatever.
Yeah, that's
right
what
for
I want to know, Emily. What do you think?
I mean, I think that couples who have more sex more frequently, and this study says too, are happier. Like if it's once a month, it's probably not enough.
Right.
And they've even said, well, if you both agree to it, but then if you're both agreeing to once a month and you're not connected, you need that intimacy. Need the intimacy is the glue that keeps you together.
So true.
And from being roommates, which I always say. And so this study says, the majority of married couples are having sex a few times per month or once a week. And past research corroborates this. Hitch couples had sex 66 times a year or a little more than once a week. So it says that and single people are having a lot less. But I'm wondering, like, because I was thinking like the single, they're, maybe they're talking to singles, like, because if they were talking to singles and singles like, we have a lot less sex.
Right.
Singles have it like once every few months. It could have just been in that month. Because when you're single and then you meet someone new, then you have sex eight times a day.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So I'm not sure but that I believe all this.
Listen, I'm jealous of the single life right now.
I know. But see, it is the grass is always green.
Grass
thing.
All
it's
green.
So
yeah.
True.
Like, but it's interesting. Like, I want my girlfriend to get hooked up.
I want to meet her.
Yeah.
You should all go out.
Yes.
I want to meet. I need more single women here.
Yeah, okay.
I do. Like, this is my year of not working as much either. Like having a social life.
Yeah.
Getting out there.
I mean, I do it, but not enough. But so.
And you're going to stop dating people that you're not interested
no,
in.
No, I like this guy now that I'm dating.
Okay.
Who can I?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I mean, he is a guy that I've been dating casually for 6 months around. And it's
Wow, that's a long term relationship for her.
Wow.
It's been so casual.
How is casual? What does that mean? Like you hear from
him. It means we're not. Yeah, we're not like committed.
Right.
Seeing other people.
Mm-hmm. But like there's times where you don't hear from him for a while.
Yeah, and then it got a little weird because you can only do that for so we were friends first.
Right.
And I actually met him looking for apartments when I moved here. Mm-hmm. He was just moving from San Francisco as well. So that was like our connection, like San Francisco. And then we just became friends. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we slept together. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I realized it was very casual. And it was the point where it wasn't as consistent, and then I was, like, feeling like, and I'm so not the girl, like, I've never had the talk, I've never been.
Right.
But then I felt like this doesn't even, I actually liked it better when we were friends, because we were more open, and now it's like, I know you have a date, that's fine, just tell me, because I'm the kind of person, like, let's talk about it, let's
right.
be open, and
right.
it wasn't as much. But now,
it's weird.
But did
that's
he not want? Did
yeah.
he? Did he want to date you more, or did you, I mean, how?
No, see, this is the thing, we never talked about it, because I didn't.
That's the.
But now we did.
Right.
And then we thought, okay, I mean, it's not, we decided that we're just going to, you know, see what happens. It's evolved more to the sense
Wait,
of.
Wait, are you guys going steady now or what? What's the deal?
We're going steady. No, not exactly, but we're more communicative about what we want. And if we are seeing, because it was kind of like this elusive, but the point is, what happened here, and this is what I told him, is like, I had to be the one that to bring up the talk, which I've never done. And it was more of the talk. I'm like, this is the talk, but without like what I know how it's going to end. It's just that, or how I don't have a foredrawn conclusion to this. It's just that you can be like friends with benefits. You can be anything for a while, but all relationships have to move. Like they have to move and to evolve.
Right.
Otherwise, it just gets boring. Your friendships evolve. Menace and I have evolved.
It's true.
We're like an old married couple.
Yeah.
Like, you know, girlfriends.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we get closer and closer.
Right.
That's what's so exciting. But if it's just, we're going to hook up every few weeks, we're not, it gets kind of, you know, it's like Woody Allen said, like, you know, relationships have to keep moving or they're, you know, what do you say? Like they're a shark, a dead shark. Wait, oh, he said.
What did he say?
He said, relationships are like a shark. You have to keep moving. And he said, and what we have on our hands is a dead shark when he was, it was in Annie Hall. Anyway.
All right. You're still talking like a politician. What was the end result?
The end result
of the
was that we really like each other and that, you know what?
You're going to stay how you are.
No, we're not. We're going to we're gonna talk more about what we're figuring out.
They're communicating more. They're communicating.
We're communicating more.
Right.
And we weren't communicating because we were just like playing it cool. And I'm really busy and I was dating other people and he is too. And that still could happen. But I said, we can't keep doing the same thing. I would like to at least talk about the fact, like, am I dating? Like, are we going to make plans? And then you know, we should just make a plan.
Right, right.
I can't. Don't. Why'd you ask me about this? I know. I'm kidding. It's fine. The point is, it's evolving, and I like him, and that's all. That was. Can we just cut that?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Right.
I'm never even kind of thing. Okay, so let's keep going.
Running for Senate later,
dude.
Hey, Emily. Does talking about married? I probably know the answer.
No, I like
but talking about married life. Bore you?
No, I love.
Okay,
dude. This is what I do for a living, and it's so funny because I'm. Fascinated by. I feel like I help.
I'm fascinated
a lot
by
of people
single with, life.
Well, we could just we're swap stories, but I think it's fascinating, and I love helping people. You know, it's funny because you're like, how can you help? What do you know? Like? Listen to me tell my like half whatever story, but I find it fascinating, and I think that I could help a lot of people because, and I'm just interested in how people make it work because I actually started this podcast because I was really cynical about relationship. I mean, coming from a family divorce and all that stuff, I just thought four divorces. I thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And I want to understand how, what makes relationships work and what doesn't. So when it started as a podcast, it was just me interviewing married.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by it.
I'm fascinated by it too.
And I think there is a science to it. There is a, you know, it does all come down to communication and sex. If you stop having sex, people are like, oh, it's okay because, you know, we'll get to that after the kids go to college.
No.
We'll get to, you got to keep it going. You got to give the blowjobs. Yeah. You got to have the chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to work on it. Yeah. So, okay, the next one was sex is pretty discreetly correlated to satisfaction in marriage. So men and women, it says, for instance, one study of Australia note that men and women who were dissatisfied with their frequency of sex were also more likely to express overall lower sexual relationship and satisfaction, which makes sense. If you're having less sex, you're not as happy.
Right.
And I agree, sex is the glue. And it's like we worry about so many other things like building the deck or where to go on summer vacation. But the second, if you realize that you're not addressing it, it's not going to go away, the sex thing. Like it's let it, it's like people think, oh, it'll heal itself after the laundry.
It's like going to the gym. You know, you you sit there and you become middle age and you look at your body and you start going, well, what, you know, I'm getting overweight or whatever. So you got to go to the gym. You got to work out or whatever.
You got
to
maintain.
You got to maintain. And but after you do it, it feels good. So it's like you kind of realize like, okay, it's been a while. Let's have sex. And then after you do it, like, oh, we should do that more often, you know, and it feels good. And then, you know, then you go into this thing where you do it for a little while and then you start, you know, he's busy, he's gone, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I mean, but you're right. It is the glue. It really.
Once it goes, because I'm sure when you had kids too, it was probably hard to get it, keep it going. But
yeah, I mean, with twins.
Twin boys.
Yeah, boy and girl.
Boy and girl. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought they were boys. Twin boys.
Because she's like a boy. That's why.
Is she? Oh my God. I mean, that's, you got your hands full.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always say that it is like going to the gym. And then today I was like, I always say that. So what's another analogy? I was thinking about a lot of times people ask me to do things, you know, go out to a concert or meet for dinner. And most. And my first reaction is always like, usually it's like, no, can I get out of it? Like, I don't like making, I have commitment all around issues. But then I thought, I've never regretted any, like, I don't have a lot of regrets, but very rarely have I been like on the fence about something and then I went and I was like, that sucked. I shouldn't have gone out with those people or gone to that concert or gone to the gym or had sex.
Right.
You're not like, why did I freaking have sex?
Right.
So I just feel like when you're thinking that in your head, like, just like, say yes. Say yes to the blowjob. Say yes to the sex.
It's all a decision. It boils down to decision.
In the moment by moment, making decisions that are healthier for your relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Can I go back real quick? Because you kept on saying, I'm fascinated by the single life.
Yes.
Now, is it just because... Is it kind of like if you're watching Sex in the City and you just want to see all the juicy stories
and
you want to hear about it?
No, I'll tell you what. My best friend, well, two of my best, the closest girls to me are both single. One is, she lives in Malibu and she's happy to be single, but she's gorgeous and she has, I think she has a little bit of intimacy issues and she has a wall, but she doesn't meet anybody though. That's the problem. Like she doesn't, she's
a little
bit, she's in isolation. Yeah. And so it's hard for her.
Would she be like lonely?
She doesn't get lonely at all.
That's crazy.
I know that's the, and she's very close to me and my kids. She loves my kids. So thank God for her. And then my other girlfriend I grew up with and you know, I saw her get married. I saw her have the kid. They had the kid at 18 months. They got a divorce. He wanted the divorce. She didn't. Mm. And he moved on and got, you know, into another relationship quick. And she had like, you know, 5 years of trying to deal with, oh, my God, what, you know, my whole life has changed. All she wanted to do was be a wife her whole life. Like, I just want to be a mom and a wife. And she's completely changed. And now she's worked on herself. She went to therapy. She goes to the gym and all that kind of stuff. Her hair is brighter blonde. She lost weight. She looks great. And now she's like completely a different person. Like she's like, let's go. Like, you know, I want to go meet people. And I'm with her. Like I'm excited for her. Like I want her to meet. And we went to New York and we had a blast. And we sat. It was so impromptu. It was one of these things that happened like, oh my God, these people, we went to the Howard Stern studios, dropped off Mangria. Okay.
Mangria. Wait, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. And we dropped it off for the Stern family. And then, we asked them, where should we go for happy hour? They said, downstairs is Del Fresco. You should go to the restaurant. We went there. We sat there from 4:30, 5 o'clock on a New York rainy day until midnight. Wow. And we watched guys come and go, and we people watched. And she sat across from me, and literally there was a group of guys that were talking. There was about five of them in the group. And I said, Suzanne, I turn around and look at these guys. And she turned, and we not one ugly guy.
They were such good-looking men in suits.
Maybe it's because the suits.
I love the suits.
It is the suit. It does.
Just go buy a suit, guys.
Guys need suits. Go buy a black suit. And so they're all standing there, and then she's like, do they have wedding rings on? And I'm like, well, two of them don't. No, two of them don't. And then the two that didn't, you know, then what do you do? At that point, she's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, just go talk to them. And then, so I don't know, I'm like, should I go talk to them? And we didn't. We just sat there and watched. And we watched guys come and go. And in New York, guys are so different because they seem more genuine. I think that everybody goes to New York because they want to work in the finance industry, right, or, you know, and they want to build a family. They want a family. And people that come here, guys that come here, are Peter Pans. They don't want that.
It's so true.
They're the opposite. They want to be a model or whatever.
An actor
or an executive. I mean, at a network, or an agent, it's so superficial and blah. And guys in New York, they're just normal, like, guys.
And they ask you out in New York, too.
They're very direct.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have guys
asking. So did she meet a guy?
She met a guy. Yeah, she did. She met a guy. And she just had fun. Like, she was just talking with him. And she talked to him. Like, I got tired at midnight, and I left. Right. And she stayed. And my other girlfriend was there, too. And
I wanted to go on a girl's trip. Next time I'm going on the girl's trip.
Emily would have just walked right over and started talking to the guys.
No, I just kept talking.
But so back to you, Menace, your question is, I'm fascinated. I love, like, because I haven't been single in a long time, but I can live vicariously through my girlfriends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what excites you.
Yeah,
totally.
My friends do that too. I'd be like, "How's your marriage?" They're like, "Tell me about you." And I'm boring.
Yeah,
but I love hearing about which, because I want to help or listen or anything.
But I want to hear about you because you're having fun.
I am having fun, and I just told a really bad story about my guy, but because it's evolving in a way that I can't articulate.
Ask her about some of her old stories.
I'm fascinated by how successful that you are and how busy you are, but yet you date so much and you meet so many guys and you have...
I do?
Well, it I seems so, like
yeah,
you do.
I guess I get asked
it
out here.
It seems like
and
you
there.
Do, yeah. Yeah. And you guys, and you have a lot of sex, it seems like. You do. And it's like, who do we know that's open about that? Like, totally open, beautiful girl, successful, hey, here I am. I have a lot of sex.
Yeah, I have a lot of sex and a lot of sex toys.
I think fascinating.
I think she's very outgoing and very approachable.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is, too. So guys feel comfortable to ask her out. I mean, I find it exhausting and draining being around her more than 5 hours. But I think that's why I think a lot of, you know,
so we never
she's
dated.
Not off-putting.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm chill.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you can find, as a man, you can find a lot of women that off-putting. They seem like they're not even interested to even be around anybody.
Well, that's what I'm trying to train my girlfriend, Suzanne, to not look. She's not off-putting, but she's shy.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, don't look like you're, you know, stuck up or whatever,
right.
You know.
It's practice. So this
she's like, what do you want me to do? Well, what do I do? Relax? What do I? I'm like, just relax.
It's so funny because I was just talking to single. I feel like all my friends are single now, but she was saying the same thing. She goes, I think that guys think, and she's beautiful, smart. She said, I think guys think I'm stuck up, and I think guys are intimidated, and she's the sweetest. I said, you know what you got to do? She goes, but I tried it. She told me this. She said, I went into Starbucks, and I smiled at some guy, and I just smiled, and then he came over, and he was like, you have really nice legs, and she's like, I wasn't into him, but I realized that I'm so lost. She does have nice legs.
That's great.
But then I said to her, that's what you got to practice. I'm like, I want you to 5 times a day, like when you walk into a public, put your phone down, smile, because men probably think you're not approachable because you're hot, and you're like, probably have a rushing, and you're on your phone.
Right.
So I think the phones are also a barrier.
That's another thing. Yeah, don't sit there, look at your phone.
Just say, hi, smile, and that's, you know, and I actually, one of my things that I truly, and I've been this way since I was a kid, I love meeting people. Like, I could go into a room where my favorite thing is going to a party where I know nobody or a room by myself.
It's interesting.
I know. Because I just truly, like, who are you? Who's your story? There's no one around me there. Like, oh, have you met my boyfriend? He really doesn't talk to people. I got to worry where he is. You know, no, it's me alone. Right, I can do whatever. And I just, I love just story people. I love connecting. It's like, it gives me juice.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think I've always liked that, but people, a lot of people aren't. And that's just, people got to work on it.
Right.
Put down the phone. Yeah. Smile.
Put down the phone. Smile.
Put down the phone. Goddamn smile.
And guys, I mean, what city does she live in? Is it San Francisco?
She lives in LA.
Oh, LA. Okay. Ugh,
the poor single girls in LA. I feel bad for my single friends in LA. Yeah. I really do. Well, I'm like, go to Chicago and meet somebody. No,
he loves Chicago.
I love Chicago. Well, I always tell my buddies also who live here on the coast, like, they have problems also with meeting women. I'm like, dude, travel to like the Midwest or something like that. You're not going to have any problems because the women there are so approachable and nice, and they're like genuine.
Well, that's how we feel about the guys. Exactly. That's how us girls feel about guys in the Midwest. Like, I told her, I said, go to Chicago. I have family. Go see my sister.
Are you from Chicago?
No.
But it's amazing if you're, visiting.
From fucking LA, sorry.
I
was born in Cleveland, but my family moved here when I was 7 years old. So I grew up here.
Chicago's an amazing city to meet people, just friends at least.
Yeah. What do you think, Emily? I mean, what?
I think that as far as dating or like, Midwest,
as far as like what city has great guys?
It's so hard because every town that people live in, they say it's the worst town to date in. Like, New York's like, oh, every guy is just like, you know, working for his career, and women are always chasing the bigger, better deal. They say LA, every guy's chasing the bigger, better deal. San Francisco, no one asks you out ever. I'm like, the guys there check their balls at the Golden Gate. Yeah. I'm like, really? Like,
they're super shy.
Yeah. And so I don't, what is the best? I honestly believe that wherever you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. And that you can find someone wherever you're at. I don't care if you're like in Des Moines. I mean, I'm from Michigan. People find love, and you just got to put yourself out there. And it's so easy to blame it on the city. But what are you doing lately to meet someone new? If you're doing the same thing every day and you're not changing up your mood, your pattern, doing something different and putting yourself out there where you might be a little nervous to go to a party that you don't have a date for, but you got invited, go.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to die.
You sound like my husband. Adam says the same
thing.
Does
he?
Yeah. Adam says, these people that say, I can't meet anybody. It's like, no, you can.
There's
go.
Billions of people. You're going to find somebody, right?
Yeah. You got to put effort into it.
You do. And so I'll talk to your sister. We'll all have drinks.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
For sure.
I really
come
enjoy it.
Well, you can join us. We're going in Burbank. After this, but I mean,
I would.
Burbank.
Burbank's awesome.
We have to get together with my.
No, we are. We're going to do that thing, and then we're going to do our live show. And then I was going to ask you. I had some sex questions for you, but you've been good.
No,
I want to know first of all, how's it going? We talked about the G spot on your show. Yes, I brought you a special toy too. Yeah.
Yes, my whole life I've heard about it, but I'm always the girl that has the orgasm.
Clitorally.
Right.
That's good.
So
at least you can have that. A lot of women can't.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
But during intercourse, you can? And
yeah.
That's hard. Okay.
But I need help. Yeah. It needs to be stimulated.
Right. Of course.
Right. Okay. So, but the G spot, I'm like, I don't know.
I brought you such a goodie bag here.
Okay.
I brought you.
She did. Yay. No, wait, look. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, the other thing she's going to freak. Yeah. But this is the Jeju. So this is my favorite
brand. I've
heard
you talk about this.
Okay, so this is, I talked about the Mimi, which is the clitoral one, which if you like that, this is the Uma, and this is like all about G-spot. It moves. It's.
Oh my God, I'm
And
so
it's
excited.
Rechargeable, and it's beautiful. Oh, like, you're just going to live
is.
For it.
It looks beautiful. Thank you.
And then I got you some other stuff that we'll go through.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Show and then you got to find the G-spot.
Show the really cool thing, though.
That's awesome.
I'm
that's
very
pretty,
excited
this
to
is
get
pretty
it.
Awesome.
Okay, so do you know about my vibe?
Oh my God. Of course, I hear about it all the time. No
so
way.
So I got you one.
Oh my God! Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God! I have the Crave.
The Crave Vesper, and it's look at it. It's
love
like
it. I know. I hear you talk about it all the time. I went on your website and looked at it. I've been wanting to buy it.
I know. I was talking to you yesterday.
Pretty.
I'm like, okay, so wait. No, tell me what kind of vibrator, because I already got something else you're going to love, but I need to know.
I love it.
I know. I'll show you how it works. It's really cool. God. It's already charged, too.
Really?
Yeah. The Crave Vesper. So check it. Check it.
Best.
I know.
Well, I'm going to have a fun sitting in traffic.
What did you want? Did you want one?
It's like Christmas here or something.
Totally. I know.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. We've
I know.
Like, this is awesome.
Time flew by. It was
I know.
So awesome.
I'm so
it
glad
could
you're
talk
here.
Forever. I know.
You can come back on.
I would love to.
And then we're going
to
do our live show. And I have to give all of your info, which is adamcarolla.com to listen to it, which is C Carolla.
Yes, thank you.
And then Lynette Carolla, at Lynette Carolla on Twitter.
Yeah, Instagram, Twitter, it's all Lynette Carolla.
Facebook.com/Lynette Carolla.
Yeah.
Instagram, and we'll have this all on our site as well.
Thank you.
And For Crying Out Loud is your podcast. Yeah. Check it. It's a really friggin' hilarious, funny podcast. It's popular.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Yeah, on that.
Thank you.
And Mangria.
Mangria. Yes.
Wait, I've never had it. I just hear Adam
talking. Here, I have it for you.
I've been hearing about it
for
a while.
Years. Yeah. I don't even know. Like,
but we should have poured some.
I know.
But yeah, I have. Here's the white. Here's the red.
What makes it a cocktail and not white wine?
You know, I'm telling you, it's really strong.
That's all we need to know.
19 proof. What do you call it?
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not, it will, you'd have like one, you pour it over ice. It's ready to pour. Pour it over ice. And one drink just melts. When I come home, like after a day of like stress, have a glass of that and all your stress just melts after one glass.
I need a stress melter.
Where is it available?
It's available at BevMo, A lot of our retails.
It's doing well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's
just
all
go
over.
To Mangria. Yeah, go to
nice.
Mangria.com, CorollaDrinks.com, and click in your area. You'll find it. Yeah,
I'd
everywhere.
Like to pour that over something right now and drink it. Something
it's
cool.
So, awesome.
So for our next show, and then we'll do our drunk show, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Lynette, thank you.
Oh, my God,
I'm like, so glad.
Thank you so much, Menace. Nice to meet you.
I know. Menace is better than she thought in her brain. Thank you, Madison. Produced the show. Love you. And thanks, everybody. For listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. You know how I'm always encouraging you to get a little more adventurous in the bedroom? Well, our friends at Sport Cheats, you know, the ones who pioneered easy-to-use bondage gear, have just released the perfect products for your next adventure, the all-new Midnight line. Midnight is a collection of sophisticated, playful, and adventurous accessories like lace cuffs, blindfolds, and one of our favorites, a lace collar and leash. Hey, producer Madison, remember that time I led you around the trade show wearing one? How was that for you?
You know, surprisingly good. It's really comfy. I liked it more than I thought I would.
I know, right? Fun for everyone. Want to turn up the adventure dial a little more? No problem. Midnight has a whole selection of high-quality nipple clamps that not only feel amazing, but are really beautiful, too. Hey, producer Madison, remember that just kidding. Okay, don't underestimate a little nipple play. Trust me. Each item in the Midnight collection is made from the highest quality materials. Everything is nicely weighted and feels amazing to use. These are really the perfect way to bring a little special twist to your sexy playtime. Sport Cheats has been keeping couples connected for more than 20 years, and the Midnight collection is their latest masterpiece. To check out this or any of the other fun Sport Cheat products, click the Sport Cheats banner on my website or visit sportcheats.com. That's SPORTSHEETS.com.